produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Matthew 8 and 5, expect the word to work. Don't settle. Expect God to do what he says he'll do. Expect the word to work. Amen. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. Jesus had just finished the Sermon on the Mount, starting in Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7. He's teaching the Sermon on the Mount. Then he goes into a couple of stories about his power, his ability to heal the sick, and his power over devils and demons, and his power over death. Then he gets to chapter 8. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, that's around the Sea of Galilee in northern Israel, close to Galilee, close to where he was brought up. And he, matter of fact, his house, he had a house in Capernaum. Jesus had a house in Capernaum. If I had time, I'd show you in the scripture. And that's where he lived after his missionary trips. He would come back to Capernaum. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, asking him, saying, Lord, notice he said, Lord, verse 6. Lord mean master. Now, he's a centurion. He's a Roman. Yeah. I could say something else, but we'll leave that alone. And saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy. He's paralyzed. He's grievously tormented. He's sick. He's hurting. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. Yes, sir. Jesus talking. Verse 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Verse 7, Jesus says, I'm coming to heal him. Yeah. And the centurion believed he could do what he said he could do. Then he said, but I'm not worried. You don't even have to come to my house. Just speak the word. They got the word. The Roman, Brother Gary Bell, said, I'm a man under authority. I own my own business. I hire people. I have soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servants, do this, and they do that. When Jesus heard that, he marveled and said to them that followed him, truly I say unto you, I have found no greater faith, no, not in Israel. This man's got great faith because he knows he's a man over folks. He's a man in authority, and he can see when I'm in authority. And he's got the power to command people to go to work, to go into battle. And when I say I got power to heal the sick, he believes me. Verse 11, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. He said, I'm going to call all people. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out unto outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He said, I'm going to get some Gentiles and draw them in. I already got the Africans. The Roman was a white man. The people in Israel were Middle Easterners. They were not white. They were Middle Easterners. And some was from Northeast Africa. The Egyptians and the Ethiopians. They were already in the fold. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8? But now he said, saying to a white man, that's what I said, I'm going to leave that alone, but I'm just going to say that. He said, you can come too. I'm getting everybody in. Everybody can come on in. And Jesus answered verse 13 to the centurion, go your way. Thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Thank you, Jesus. Expect God's word to work. Amen. Expect that word to work. Amen. Expect. Put Psalm 62 and 5 on the screen. Psalm 62 and 5 on the screen. This is our foundational scripture for the month of March. Psalm 62 and 5. Put that on the screen. Psalm 62 and 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from God. This Roman centurion expected Travis the word to work. He hoped for it. Expectation is anticipation. It's a strong hope that something is going to happen. It means I'm looking for something to happen. I'm going to wait on something to happen. I desire something. And I anticipate it. And now I'm going to bank on it. Somebody said, bank on it. Yeah. Bank on it. You know, when people say my word is bond, that means you can bank on it. Amen. To expect something is to believe that something you want, desire, or anticipate will come to pass. Hope and desire are synonyms of expect, but they are not exactly the same. Hoping for it and desiring it is not the same as expecting completely. To expect something, expectation implies a higher degree of certainty that what you hope for and what you desire will come to pass. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Expectation implies a higher degree of certainty that what you hope for and what you desire will happen. I know you see that chair sitting right there. It's not for one person to come get saved like they used to do in the old Baptist church. Amen. Because I expect a whole lot of folks to get saved. Not in the church, but all on YouTube and streaming and Twitter and Facebook and on our website. That chair is there for me to make a point. Anticipation. Expectation implies a higher degree of certainty that what you hope for and what you desire will happen. I was raised in a country town, Batesville, Mississippi. Amen. In the country town, Leonard, a country town. Thank you, Jesus. And the old folks, when they knew that monthly check was rolling, they would put a chair. Mr. Numdy, young people, amen. Millennials. The old folks would put a chair in the front porch. And sometime they would move the chair to the front yard when they knew the mailman was coming to bring that check on the first of the month. When they knew that income, Tyra, when they knew that income tax check was coming, they said, is the mailman run yet? And they'd sit on the front porch. Then they'd move out into the yard. Then they'd run back to the house. Numbly, they didn't have cell phones then. They'd run back in the house and call the neighbor around the street and say, Has the mailman passed your house yet? And Jordan, they were set with anticipation, expecting the mailman to roll around that corner with that check. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We need to be in expectation, waiting on Jesus to work. Amen. And in order to do that, we've got to believe in this word. You need the word of God. We got lights, and I thank God for lights, Rico, and I thank Marcus Jones, L3 Media, and Katura, and Tara, and Terry, and Rico for sound and for technology. I love all the stream, and I love that. I embrace the modern technology. Come on, somebody. I embrace the praise team, the choir, and the music, and all of that. But even more so than that, even without a band, even without a choir, even without the technology, we can still worship God in spirit and in truth because we've got a word. We've got a word. You can sing the word without the band. I love the band, but you can sing the word. You can preach this word without a microphone. It's the word. I'm preaching like I'm fussing. Because we got to get back to this word. We've got to get back to worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Come on, somebody. We got to come in here expecting that God is going to do something. That God still works miracles, signs, and wonders. We got to love God enough to get here expecting something to happen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We need the word. We need the word. Thank you, Jesus. You can have church without the word. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. But you can't have a meaningful relationship with Jesus without the word. You can have a big crowd without the word. You can have a beautiful building without the word. You can be up on the latest styles. You can wear the skinny jeans and the nice suits and the nice gym shoes. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. But if you're not putting a word on it, you're not going to grow and develop and mature and be equipped and perfected in the things of God. If you're not putting Bible on it, somebody said put Bible on it. Yeah, put some Bible on it. If you ain't putting Bible on it, you just got a big crowd. You just singing and dancing. You just jumping and shouting. You just blowing in the wind, my friend. There's no power there until you put some Bible on it. Till you put Jesus on it. Till you put the Spirit on it. Hey, if you don't put Bible on it, if you don't put a word on it, your people would not grow. You can have a mega church and people not growing. You can have 10 or 15 and people are growing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Without a word, your people will not mature. They'll be tossed with every wind of doctrine. Without the word, your people will not experience miracles, signs, and wonders. And they'll be church hoppers. And they will run from one church to the other church. Praying one day, chanting the next day. A Buddhist one day, back in the Christian church the next day. In the Christian church one day, and in the mosque the next day. Come on, somebody. If you don't put a word on it, we'll be unstable, running to and fro, trying to satisfy me, myself, and I. If you don't put a word on it, you'll grow to doubt the things of God. And every little thing will distract you. And every little thing will pull you away from church and the things of God. Thank you, Jesus. I love going on vacation. I love going shopping. I love pretty things. I love my wife, pretty lady. I love nice cars and nice houses. Amen. but I still keep my eyes on Jesus. He didn't say you couldn't have that. That's old church. That's old gospel. You only way you're going to heaven if you broke, if you in poverty. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. He didn't say you couldn't have the other things. He just said, seek God first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he said, all of these other things I'll give to you. Expect it. I'll give it to you. Cars and clothes and cash and creature comforts. I'll give it to you. But seek me first. I don't mind you having a good time. I don't mind you going to see Frankie Beverly and Maze. I don't mind you seeing Usher. I don't mind you watching the Super Bowl. You don't hear people, you don't hear many preachers preach like this. But this is the real world. Ain't nothing wrong with going to a clean concert. Not when they sliding down poles with their butt out. That's a different story. Come on now. But going to a good concert, hearing some good music, there ain't nothing wrong with that. Amen. Be careful who you put in hell. Because you may be standing at the door when they get there. Talking about it's hot in there, it's hot in there. You may think you Nelly. It's hot in here. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. You can't grow without the word. Stop coming to church just to be entertained. And I love entertainment. To entertain is to capture people's attention. So it's nothing wrong with entertainment. But when you put the entertainment before God, then that's when you got a problem. Church is not American Idol. Church is not a Broadway musical. Church is where we come to praise God in spirit and in truth. And many of us, even pastors, get away from that because we just want folks to come to our church. We don't want folks to go to church and be saved and be blessed and grow. We just want folks to come to our church. And if you ain't coming to our church, we ain't got much time for you. Come on, somebody. But Jesus says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men to me. Jesus said, I'll draw them to him, not to us. I just want you to be saved. I want you to grow and develop and mature and be equipped and perfected in the things of God. I like this church to grow, but you don't never come here. Long as you're saved and you're living a better life, then you cool with me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That's kingdom. When you're worried about God's kingdom and not about my kingdom. And God don't want us to be into lamentation. That's crying, lament, crying all the time. He wants us to be in expectation. And expectation brings manifestation. And whatever you expected from God, it's in the Bible. It's in the word. Let's go to work. 2 Timothy 3, 14, 15, and 16. I'm going to take my time today. 2 Timothy 3, 14, 15, and 16. Amen. 2 Timothy 3, amen. 14, 15, and 16. Thank you, Jesus. Just give me that. Just give me that 16th verse. All scripture, just one verse. I don't want to confuse nobody. All scripture, all word is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Profitable means that it's going to pay off. Sister Mayola, get a profit means you're going to get paid. It's profitable for doctrine. doctrine for teaching.
Yes, sir.
It's profitable for reproof to tell you what's wrong. It's profitable for correction to tell you what's right. It's profitable for instruction in righteousness.
Yes,
it's profitable to teach you not only how to get right, but how to stay right. Come on, somebody. If you need healing, it's in the Word. Psalms 107 verse 20. It's in the Word. Everything you're looking for is in the Word. Psalms 107 verse 20. Amen. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. God sent his word, Mr. Maurice, and healed you and delivered you from your sickness. Minister Michelle Jones, God sent his word and healed you, comforted you. Sister Gloria Taylor, God sent his word to give you comfort. Deuteronomy 33:25. And he says, I'll send them as your days are, so will my word be to comfort you and to give you peace. Thank you, Jesus. Deuteronomy 33:25. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. As thy days are, so shall my strength be. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Expect the word to work if you work it.
Yes,
how do you work the word, Jones? Glad you asked. How do you work the word, Jones? Glad you asked. Read it.
Amen.
Rely on it. That's meditate on it. Request it.
Yeah.
Receive it. And rest in it. Read that word. Read that word. Read that word. Read that word.
Yes, sir.
If it's not but one scripture a day. If it's not but one scripture a day.
Yes.
If it's not just Jesus wept.
Yeah.
Read that scripture.
Yeah.
All week long, every day, Jesus wept.
Oh, yeah.
You see, you got Jesus on your tongue. You got Jesus in your mind. Got Jesus in your spirit. Got Jesus on your heart. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Read it, rely on it, request it, receive it, rest in it. Because when trouble comes, you need to know the word for yourself. I need to know the word for me. And you need to know the word for you. Not just lip service, but life service. Not in the church house, but in my house. I'm so nice in church, and I'm cussing my wife out all day at home. I'm so nice in church. I'm so suchy much in church, and my wife don't see me the Sunday morning until it's time to come to church. I'm just so nice in church. Just speak to everybody and talking about you like a dog soon as I get out the door. God wants some life service, not lip service. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How do you work the word? Know that the word is the word of God, and that the word is powerful and will never come back void. Isaiah 55:11. I'm going to slow this thing down today. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In the first century, find that word, Isaiah 55:11. I got some more word than popped in my mind. Amen. In the first century, God spoke to us through his son, Jesus Christ, who came to earth as a man, the living word. He also say, I'm the written word. In 1 John, he says, in John chapter 1, he says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So the living word and the written word, Jesus done went back to
glory, the living word. But he left his written word. And he says in Isaiah 55:11, so my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void, not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish, it shall perform that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things where I sent it to. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The word of God will prosper. And the prosper, don't get scared of that word, prosper. Prosper means to step up. God said your word, the word will prosper. The word will cause you to step up. I'm prospering. I'm stepping up. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Joshua 1:8. Expect this word to work for you. We got to put a word on it. You got to put some Bible on it. Amen. You ain't got to know the whole Bible, but you need to know a word or two for your situation. You need a word or two for your situation. Thank you, Jesus. See, you need a word for your situation. If you need healing, you need to know some healing scriptures. There's a balm in Gilead. If you got a problem with women, you need to stay off the beach and pull up some David scriptures. Some created me a clean heart, O Lord, and renewing me a right spirit, O Lord. Come on, somebody. You need a scripture for your situation. Joshua said he took over for Moses. Moses dead now, gone to glory. And here come Joshua. He's a new jack. New jack swing. Come on, somebody. Come on, Teddy Riley. The new jack swing. Bobby Brown, my prerogative. Hey. Rex in effect. Anybody remember that? Yeah. Not Teddy Riley and Guy. Come on now. That's the new jack swing. I was a part of that. I worked for them. This book of the law. This book of the law. The law is the word. It's a synonym for the word. This book of the word shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt rely, meditate on this word day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. Not just what I lack, but all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make your way prosperous. And then thou shalt have, Rachel, Tabitha, good success. Hey! Woo! The word will teach you how to be grown. The word will teach you how to be grown, how to take rebuke and to give rebuke in love. Not beating somebody down, but do it in love. You got to have some boundaries. You just don't come do what you want to do. I tried that. It didn't work for me. Yeah. The word will teach you how to be a real man, a real woman. I'm not into this gender stuff. I know I go along with women's money, men's money, all that old kind of stuff. But I'm for everybody making it. I want everybody to eat. I want everybody to blow up. Men, women, girls and boys, whatever you are, whoever you are. I'm for everybody. I ain't no for just white or black. I'm for everybody. Lottie, dotty, and everybody. Come on now. I know it's old school, but it's still cool. Hey. This word. Now y'all gonna take a meddling now. This word will teach you how to get out of debt. This word, let me pull my pants up, I may have to run. This word will teach you how to get some money. This word will teach you how to keep your money. This word will teach you how to have peace.
when everything around you is falling apart, this word will teach you how to have love, joy, and peace in your life. This word will teach you how to forgive, how to serve. This word will teach you how to walk with God in spirit and in truth. Matthew 8:5-13. I got back to the text, y'all. The centurion came to Jesus. Got through teaching the Sermon on the Mount, some other teachings about his power, his authority over death and over the grave and over life and over the wind, over the waves. He came to Jesus and he made a request to Jesus, and he expected his request to be answered. He didn't have a right in the first century to come to Jesus. He was a Roman who were hated by the Jews. He was a Roman, and he was a Roman centurion. He was in control over 100 soldiers that had been sent from Rome to Italy, to Israel to colonize Israel and to maintain order by any means necessary. He was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. He was a colonizer. He was an oppressor. He was a part of the Roman military. He didn't have an appointment. He came to Jesus without an appointment. That's a precursor. That's a foreshadow of us, Brother Leonard Dickerson. A foreshadow that whosoever will, just let him come. You don't need an appointment. Just come. You don't have to be perfect to come. Jesus will not bring up your mess. Jesus will not bring up your faults and your foibles. Jesus will not bring up your past. Jesus will not bring up your ethnicity. Oh, you a white man. Oh, you a black man. Oh, you a Hispanic. Jesus will not use your gender against you. Oh, you a woman. Oh, you a man. You got to wait in line. No, get in this line. Stay in that line. You don't have to be a saint. Oh, church folk, don't kick me out. You don't have to be a saint. Matthew 11:28. He said, come unto me. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That's everybody. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Stop looking down on people. We've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. And all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. Come to Jesus just as you are. Accept him. Believe in him. Read about him. Rely on him. Request what you want from him. Then you can rest in him, because he will surely make it come to pass. Hebrews 4:16. But I'm about to shout. I'm about to shout because I know what it's going to say. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help us in our times of need. Isn't that good, y'all?
Amen.
That we may find mercy and grace to help us in our times of need. Sometimes the preacher needs some mercy. Sometimes the preacher needs some grace. I be wanting to knock a joker out sometimes. Help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus.
Yes,
Philippians 4:6-7. I'm about through.
for your expectation to become manifestations, you have to request God to do it. You have to request, just ask him. Ask him to do it. You gotta have no big old ecclesiastical prayer, no bishop's prayer, no apostle's prayer. Come on, no systematic theology prayer. Just the Lord, help me. This thing is too big for me. This peer pressure get me down in school. Come on, somebody. This job is too big for me. This relationship is too big for me. This man crazy. And this woman out of her mind. They too much for me. I can't fix them, but you can. I'm going to give them to you. It's too big for me. Thank you, Jesus. Here's what he says. Be careful for nothing. Don't be worried about it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, heartfelt desire, and with thanksgiving. You ever been out with people, you can't enjoy your meal because everything is negative? They just, yeah, I don't like this restaurant. I don't like this shrimp here. I don't like the chicken here. I don't like the steak here. I don't like the bread here.
Water ain't wet enough.
Just negative. I have old coach John Calipari who went to Kentucky when he was at University of Memphis. He used to call them nervous, negative Nellies. Yeah, just everything negative. But with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. I expect good things. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Yeah, I expect to be blessed. I expect things to turn around. I expect things to get better. I'm catching hell right now, but I'm expecting things to be better. I'm expecting him to get right. I'm expecting her to get right. I'm expecting things to turn around. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And just request what you want. Just like at a restaurant. You don't go in the kitchen to the chef. You make your request known to the chef's emissary, which is the waiter. God is the chef. Jesus was his emissary. And when Jesus come to your table, know what you want. When Jesus come to your dining table, open your mouth and make your request. Don't you wait till I order, and then when the order get back, you want what I got. You order yourself. Thank you, Jesus. The chef is cooking it up. God is cooking it up, Mayola. Sister Jones, Sharon, God is cooking it up. Sister Ali, God is cooking it up. Make your request known unto God. Centurion said, I want my paralyzed servant to be healed. I'm a man under authority. I tell people when to go and when to come, and they do it, and I see you. It's a game, recognize game. Real, recognize real. Down like 10 flat tires. Come on, somebody. So this centurion was a boss, and he recognized a boss. Come on, somebody. This centurion recognized real game. He recognized a man that had all game. Come on, somebody. All power was in his hand. Stop being negative. Be positive and expect God to do it. Request it. Request it. Request it. Open your mouth and request it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Here's a scripture in Job. Job 3:25, and then we're going to hurry on. Job 3:25. Here's a scripture in Job. By being negative. Job 3:25. For the things, y'all need to write this one down. For the things which I greatly feared is come upon me.
Yeah.
Grandmama had cancer.
All right.
Granddaddy had cancer. Mama had cancer. Uncle Charlie had cancer.
Yeah.
Auntie had cancer. I'm going to have cancer. For the things which I greatly feared is come upon me. And that which I was afraid of come unto me. Last guy I had was no good. He was a dog. Last woman I had, she was no good. Thank you, Jesus. She was good for lips, hips, and fingertips. But she was no wife. Come on, somebody. So I'm not going to get into another relationship. What? You know, the last guy I had, he wrecked my car. The last woman I had, I paid for her to go to New York with her mama, and she was in Miami with her girlfriends. For the things I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of come back to me again. Thank you, Jesus. My. Proverbs 18:21. I this is about the last scripture. I'm about scripture out. Proverbs 18:21. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I love the word. Expect the word to work. Proverbs 18:21 said, life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Yes, sir.
Watch what you say. Don't settle. Take the limitations off God and speak it. Job 22:28 said, you can declare a thing. Job 22:28 said, you can declare a thing. Job 22:28 said, you can declare a thing. And it will come to pass. Jeremiah 32:27 said, is there anything too hard for God? Jesus said in Luke, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. Thank you, Jesus. Request it. Tell God what you need. Don't be anxious about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And God will give it to you. When you receive it, rest in it. When you receive it, don't hoard it. Don't put it in the can and sit on the can. Use enough for yourself and your family, and then give some of it away. I don't understand how people with $100 billion, $100 billion, can be satisfied with that lifestyle. I mean, you got enough money to give away $100 million and still not hurt you. When is enough enough? And I think people give away money the wrong way. People got money, they're giving it to these organizations, and the organization president gonna get it and steal it. And they're gonna have a big house, and a few people work for them gonna have a big house. I think they ought to have these organizations, this is just me, get you a board, and you go around and identify folks that's good folks struggling, trying to make it. Give this person 50,000, give them 100,000, and that will help a family get on their feet. And you know that family got it, because your board done wrote a check to them. I'm not talking about the needy, the greedy. I'm talking about the real needy. If you got all this money, you ought to be able to get a board that can vet folks, that can certify who really needs the money. I think churches should do that when you got that kind of budget. Doing well, and you got 2,000 or 3,000 members, and you got $5 million in the bank, take some of that money and cut out some folks. Now, you can't let everybody know, because they're going to get mad because you didn't get them some. And get some young lady struggling 20,000. somebody trying to get through school, $15,000. That'll help you get through school. That's where my mind is. If you got that kind of money, we just got a little money and we give away a little. But if you got that big money, what is it going to hurt you to do that? Feed some folks free. Give away some stuff free. Make your request known unto God, not man, not your family, not your co-workers. Make your request known unto God.
Amen.
And Jesus sent his word and healed the centurion's paralyzed servant. The centurion was expecting it to happen. Theologians said he was 50 miles away from home. And he walked back home expecting his servant to be healed. And before he got home, word reached him that your servant is healed. This is my month. This is my week. This is the year to receive what you have requested. Thank you, Jesus. This is my month. This is my year to receive what I've been expecting. What have you requested God to do? Thank you, Jesus. It's on the way. I don't have it yet, but expect it. Expect it. Expect it. Jesus spoke to the 10 lepers. They were healed. He didn't lay hands on them. He didn't have a prayer meeting. He said, go, show yourself to the priest. And they were healed as they went. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus spoke to the man at the pool of Bethesda that had been lame for 38 years. He said, rise up and walk. Thank you, Jesus. Peter and John going up to the temple, to the church house on the Lord's day, saw a man laying at the gate called Beautiful in Acts chapter 3 verse 5. And he was begging for money. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give unto you. Thank you, Jesus. Rise up and walk. And the man jumped up. He walked. He leaped. He ran, giving God glory. Speak to your situation. Speak to that condition. Lord, I expect you to heal. Jesus spoke to the grave of dead Lazarus. And Lazarus got up out of the grave. Expect it. Expect it. Expect it. Thank you, Jesus. Expect it. I expect more. I expect to be confident. My mama been gone. I can't get past that. Lord, I can't handle this, but I expect you to comfort me and give me the peace that passes all understanding. And I declare you will. It's going to take some time, but little by little, day by day, as your days are, so will his strength be. And when we're weak, God is strong. His grace is sufficient. I expect to be healed. I expect to be delivered. I expect to be set free. I expect some money. I expect to be financially blessed. I expect to go higher. I expect to lead and not follow. I expect to be the lender, not the borrower. I expect to graduate. I expect a good husband. I expect a good wife. I expect a good marriage. I expect to be single and happy. I expect a great relationship. I expect my ministry to be blessed. I expect my house to be blessed. I expect my wife to be blessed. I expect my children to be blessed. My grandchildren to be blessed. I expect it. I expect it. Because he died. Because he rose again. We can have life and life more abundantly. Expect it. Expect your healing. He is a balm in Gilead. Expect it. Expect it. Expect it. The door of the church is open. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Expect it. Thank you, Jesus.
Come on, put your hands together.
produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.